another episode of the Detox Podcast, a culture and conversation podcast where you can detox from the world around you and get a window into how other people live their lives. Come detox with Detox. I'm your host, Joe Shaw, and on today's episode, I had the absolute pleasure of speaking to Maysoon Zayid, a comedian, actress, writer, and disability advocate. Maysoon and I talked about her latest release, Shiny Misfits, a graphic novel by both her and Shadia Amin from Scholastic. It's a beautiful tale, a wonderful tale of this character, Bay Ann, who has her moment in the spotlight, and she wins a school talent show with a show-stopping tap routine, but then her classmate and crush, Al-Yi Mak, causes her to wobble and almost fall. The video of him catching her goes viral, making Al-Yi an overnight sensation for, quote-unquote, helping her. Bay Ann is reduced to her disability, and her talent is ignored. But as Bay Ann tries to find the thing that really makes her stand out, everything she tries goes disastrously wrong. What if the only way to beat her enemy is to join him? This is a hilarious and one-of-a-kind graphic novel about fame, friendship, and fighting to take back your own story. And it truly is a wonderful, wonderful tale. So Maysoon and I get into a discussion about Shiny Misfits. We get into a discussion about inclusion. We get into a discussion about how do you take time to avoid being burnt out in trying to make the world a better place. Overall, it's a wonderful conversation about inclusion, about disabilities, about individuality, and about growing up. A little bit about Maysoon. Maysoon Zayid is a comedian, actress, writer, and disability advocate, as I mentioned before. She's a graduate of Arizona State University and a Princeton Fellow. Maysoon is the co-founder slash co-executive producer of the New York Arab American Comedy Festival and the Muslim Funny Fest. She was a full-time on-air contributor to Countdown with Keith Olbermann and a columnist for The Daily Beast. She's appeared on 60 Minutes, CNN, ABC News, and Oprah Winfrey Networks. Maysoon had the most viewed TED Talk of 2014 and was thrilled to collaborate with Huda Beauty. Maysoon is an absolute delight, and I cannot wait for you to get to the conversation I had with Maysoon. But before we get there, I do need to let you know that today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by Empire Toys. Nostalgia is something everyone loves, and Empire Toys in Keller, Texas is on nostalgia overload. With toys and action figures from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today, Empire Toys is a one-stop shop for a trip down memory lane and a chance to reclaim what was once yours, but likely sold at a garage sale. Check out Empire Toys on Facebook, Instagram, or at TheEmpireToys.com. And by Self Unbound. Your quality of life, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, is a direct reflection of the level of abundant energy, ease, and connection your nervous system has to experience your life. At Self Unbound, your nervous system takes center stage as we help unbind your limited healing potential through network spinal care. Access the first steps to your unbound journey by following us on Facebook, Instagram, or at www.selfunbound.com. Now, without any further ado, my conversation with Maysoon is right up after this. Welcome back to the Detox Podcast. With me at this time, I am excited to interview her and get to know all about her amazing career and amazing book, Shiny Misfits. But before we get into that, I want to go ahead and welcome to the show Maysoon Zayid. Maysoon, how are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. We're recording this on a Friday, and I'm a big fan of Fridays. I really am.
I mean, what's not to love about Friday, right? It's the end of the week. That's about it. Yeah. So, I mean,
it's the end of the week in certain countries, but it's also Saturday in a lot of Muslim countries, because I'm a Muslim chick.
Yes.
So like Fridays is our Saturday and then Thursdays is our Friday. But I'm also from New Jersey, and all summer long, Thursday is our Friday and Friday is our Saturday. So it's both a Muslim Jerusalem thing. It's a Jersey thing. Fridays are just the day that I have fun.
Well, it is a wonderful day. And I love that you're able to draw that distinction for the listeners, because of the fact that I think there is so many times where when we, the collective we, go about our day-to-day life, we don't often consider days that matter and days of significance to other cultures,
other people.
Groups. Yeah, right? So, I mean, here I am talking about Friday as like, oh, good, it's the end of my work day. But we're really talking about not only the end of a work day, 9 to 5 corporate or otherwise work day, but also the beginning of a Saturday for different cultures and different regions and different perspectives. So yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for calling that
You're
out.
You're welcome.
And here at the Detox Podcast, if you're brand new, welcome to the show. I invite listeners to quote unquote detox from the world around them and get a window into how other people live their lives. And I like to ask all of my guests here at the top of the episode a question. And Maysoon, I'll ask you this. What are you currently detoxing from?
Genocide. I'm detoxing from genocide, and it's not actually possible, but I'm trying to figure out how do I detox every single day from being surrounded by images that terrify me, talking to my family and feeling really hopeless, because a lot of my family lives in refugee camps. I literally was in Bethlehem for Christmas, and not the one in Pennsylvania, the one that say Jesus was born in. And how I detox is I come home and I stop and I think, if you give in to the hate and the darkness and all of that that you're being surrounded by in this genocide, what purpose do you serve? And if you can kind of shake it all off and find that power and figure out who the helpers are, like Mr. Rogers said, and like put your back into shiny misfits and show the world what the world could be through the lens of this comic book that has no borders yet, does have skin tones, you know. I try to think about, like, am I serving a greater purpose by fighting every single day for justice and equality? And I think the answer is yes. And I say all the time, this is like my mantra quote. My dad's mantra was, you can do it. Yes, you can, which meant don't say you can't unless you try. My mantra is, the smallest spark can light up an entire cave. And I want to be that spark. And if I don't detox by doing the things I love, yoga, tap dancing, stand-up comedy, watching Bob's Burgers nonstop, you know, rifling through a 1996 copy of Silver Surfer and smelling that page and being like, this is probably lead. But this is probably lead ink. This might kill me if it smells so good. You know, that type of thing. That's how I detox. Oh, wait. I can't believe I didn't say the most important way I detox.
What's that?
I hang out with my cat, Beyonce.
Yes.
As one is known to do.
We have a couple of feline friends in the Shaw household, and they are a wonderful way to detox, for sure.
They're such a wonderful way to detox. And also, they are amazing therapists.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
My cats, like, they really listen, and they don't ever guilt me about, like, repetition. Like, they're like, no, talk about him one more time and it might work out.
right. I love,
and they're
love
talking
that.
About, you know, Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Fallon finally giving me my 2.5 minutes of stand-up comedy, not a romantic interest.
Right. I appreciate that you mentioned the coming home and stopping and in being intentional about the ways in which you're able to detox and recharge. Because I find I do a lot of work within the inclusion space as well on an ongoing basis. And what I found is I, Joe Shaw, am not able to solve the world's problems, and I shouldn't try to every single day. But what I should do is try to move the needle on an individual level with my immediate community as much as I can. And then at the end of the day, like you mentioned, stop and recharge and detox. Because if I am burnt out, then I'm not able to have those meaningful conversations that do move the needle on an individual level.
And there's something gratuitous and privileged about it. And
Sure.
that's when you're like, what am I using my privilege for? You know what I mean? Because I keep telling people, the mother that has to work two shifts and then get up and get her kids to school and get them bathed and get them to doctor's appointments, she doesn't have the luxury that I have to put on that Bob's Burgers episode.
Right.
So, like, when I have the luxury to care for myself, to detox, as I said, I try to use that in a way that serves other people. Because this idea of like, don't feel guilty about unplugging and ignoring the fact that your neighbor is bleeding to death on the driveway, that's not my ethic.
Sure.
That's not how I was raised.
Right. No, I think that's well said, and I appreciate you calling out the privilege that we just that both of us just mentioned is the ability to have the privilege to be able to turn on, turn on the TV or relax with our cats or find different ways to recharge because there are.
Or even eat really good, healthy food.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It is, there is, I forget where I heard it. I know it's been a couple of different ways, but it was explaining sort of the idea of inequality with regard and privilege. And it talked about how I think it was like a good pair of boots was $50, but if you can only afford the $10 boots, you buy the $10 boots, but the $10 boots break over and over again. So you keep spending
Yeah.
$10 more dollars as opposed to the $50 boots that might last you years and then you're only out once. And so it shows, right, the privilege for that initial purchase, as well as the privilege to not have to continually be put in a strained position due to a lack of resources. This is a fascinating, well, this is part of, I mean, we're not even into Shiny Misfits yet. This is a
I
fascinating conversation.
this is gonna be a 7-part
No,
series.
I love it. But this is what we do on the Detox Podcast, right? We're trying to educate parents to become more inclusive themselves and then raise more inclusive kids so we can make the world a better place. That is the goal. And we interview lovely people such as yourself, Misun, to be able to educate our listeners because the perspective I
But
have
this
is
is
not the perspective you have. Yes.
Yeah, but this is the perfect segue
Yes.
because when I talk about Shiny Misfits, I always say that this is a book for all ages. I mean, I don't know, like toddlers might like tear out the pages, so get them a Kindle to just look digital. But I say to people, I really, really want parents to read this book and stop pining for the perfect child they dreamt of. And instead, enjoy, appreciate, and empower the imperfect child they ended up with.
Yeah. Yes. Well
And
said.
that's everything. That's everything. That's disability. That's unfortunately, in some cultures, still gender.
Yeah.
That's, height, weight, skin tone,
Yeah.
anything. Like the when I see the way people imagine their families and their children, I'm like, wow, do you even watch TV? And
Right.
so, like, I want this book to give them the tools to be like, oh, okay, I didn't expect to have this, but this could actually be fun. This
Right.
could be a really cool journey because you end up with two different things, not just with disabled children, but I'm a BIPOC child. Like I'm a child of immigrants. I'm a brown kid. I always joke that the Middle East is like Africa, it's Asia, it's Europe, it's everything all together. My mom looks like the Crusades forgot her, and my
Oh.
dad looks African. And I look like a cinnamon girl, as Prince sang in his song, you
Nice.
know.
Yeah.
And when I grew up in a culture where like everyone wanted to have a boy. And my dad was like, no, my four girls are worth all of your men, you know.
Right.
And so I know that there are still people to this day who care about what gender their child are. And then if that gender happens to not be the one they were assigned at birth, oh boy, that goes really sideways.
Right.
So we're trying to get people to understand that, like, Shiny Misfits. What's a misfit? It's one of the greatest bands in the history of time. But
Yes.
what's a misfit? Right? I mean, yeah, I just gave away my age, but it is what it is. But like, it's a person. The tagline on Shiny Misfits is, You can fit in or you can stand out. And the idea is when you're a misfit, you don't fit in. So what's your choice? Stand out. Just be who
Yes.
you are. And then when you're trying to take a parent who has this like cat, you know, this Kardashian Christmas card picture of what their family should look like, and then their 5-year-old is a little bouncy and has a very, you know, very pronounced nose like mine, you either deal with it or you make that child miserable their whole lives. And I have watched children be made miserable their whole lives by parents, disabled children specifically, parents who think they're a burden, parents who over medicalize them. You cannot just take kids to doctor's appointments every single day. You're
Right.
not supposed to read reviews of your books. I'm a comic. I'm going to read everything, right?
Right.
And so, like, one of the people was disappointed that I didn't explain the cerebral palsy. And I was like, I just feel like you have Google. And what it is an adult demanding that a child character explain to them something an adult should either know or figure out themselves.
Yes.
Because we're always demanding labor from the people we aren't. You have to tell me. I don't want to learn. And what I'm saying is there's a child in this book who doesn't have to go to the doctor because she has a lifelong disability that doesn't really get treated by a doctor.
Right.
And like she goes to dancing school, and some days she's spazzy, and her stomach hurts just like any other kid, and she has the flu just like any other kid, and all these things happen to her. And if you can't deal with a disabled kid doing what other kids do, it's because you don't see them as children.
Well
They're
said.
special. They're
Yes.
special.
Yes. I want to get go back to just one thing that you said that is so important. And you talked about the reader who left the review demanding the ability to be explained everything about the cerebral palsy condition within the book, as opposed to it being a piece of the character, but not the character's defining trait, right? And that's a part of it, right? That's a part of the story. And
It's a part of it.
I get so frustrated where I do feel like there is a over. It feels to me. I will use my individual perspective. It feels to me as a young parent. I'm still going to call myself a young parent, even though I'm 36. I'm just going to hang on to it as long as possible.
I like it.
as a young parent, it feels like there is a over expectation of a educational component within all literature that people do not feel comfortable having the conversations with their kids or defining for their children.
Yep.
And
Yeah.
it is astounding to me how many times there is this I didn't like this book because, well, in this case, you pointed out, because there's not a medical detailed breakdown of what cerebral palsy is.
Because the highly comedic 10-year-old in the middle of the book didn't stop and say, "My neurological disorder that causes spasticity in my case, but makes others nonverbal and some wheelchair users is not the issue here,
Right,
Mom."
right.
Like she's literally like, "My palsy is not what made me fall." Like that's what she says. And then you're supposed, and then what we realize is the kid kissing her on the cheek made her swoon. And she like buckled, and that's what she felt. And like that's what I think is like also between like between you and I on a podcast, and I say this, I mean this, you know, comic books are for us to infuse a lot of ourselves in. So this is officially called the graphic novel. Let's just be official. But I call it a comic book. And I've always thought of comic books as like you see yourself in the character, and then that character takes on qualities of your own, right? So when we have characters that are coded, right, it's because like some of us are like, oh yeah, that character's totally queer. I see 1, 2, and 3 in me. And then the other person's like, oh my God, that character is like the most straight edge character ever. I can see one, two, and three. And you see what you want to see. With Mayan, I think the vagueness of her disability is to open it up to like, what is going on with this child?
Right.
She specifically says that she has cerebral palsy, but this character is also clearly neurodivergent. I think it's so clear, and I speak
Yes.
about her being
Yes.
neurodivergent, but we don't at any point say, I also have an invisible disability, mother. It's because she says things like, in the principal's office, you know, I'm not allowed to have flashing lights around me. You know,
Right,
like it
right.
doesn't have to be spelled out for you when I'm trying to entertain children. And also, an editor who I did not choose because I love my editor. My editor, Emily Seif at Scholastic, she's incredible. Like, I've worked with so many people who think I'm unique and extraordinary, and then they get a hold of me and they're like, I'm just gonna shove you in this little mayonnaise jar box and you're gonna go in it. And she let me like really shine and like really do like what I wanted to do. Another editor that I had met with before I went to Scholastic said to me, is this book for disabled kids or for everyone? No, she said, is this book for disabled kids or for non-disabled kids? And I said, this book is for everyone.
Right.
Why would you think that something entertaining to a disabled child wouldn't be entertaining to the larger society? And I
Right.
think that, you know, this is part of exclusion when we talk about inclusion. We're still looking at disability as an other, even though we're 25% of the population.
Yes. Yes. I mean, there is, I'm even thinking about, there was an
Who's your favorite disabled actress?
my favorite disabled actress. That's a, I don't have one that readily comes to mind.
Exactly.
And that's the point.
Because there's so few of us that when one comes to mind, you're like, oh my God, I'm embarrassed to say that name because everybody's like,
Right.
Marlee Matlin. Like,
Yes.
that's all we have, you know?
Yes.
But that's the problem. It's like, I looked around for other books by disabled people featuring disabled characters to be like, I don't want to be repetitious. And then I was like, well, there's nothing to repeat, folks, you know? And so I was very blessed and lucky to have an editor who encouraged and allowed me to write the story I wanted to, but even more, my illustrator. Because my illustrator, Shadia Amin, she's an amazing pen, right? Like, her drawings are just
Yes.
mind-blowing. She does Spider-Ham and Popeye, and my drawings are so beautiful. And when we had, she and I had the conversation about disability, she was like, you tell me how to draw it because I have to draw you. Like, I don't have it. I'm actually drawing you. And so what I did was I just started sending her all these really wild videos of like me brushing my hair, me walking, me doing a pirouette, me flip-flopping, you know, into my car so that she could see what the motion looked like and then imitate it. And we did a reading on Zoom with my crew. So I have a crew called the Scripps. It's Scripps, like we're Scripps, but we're also all disabled Crips, so Scripps. Anyway, we all got online and we read the entire book for Shadia so that she could also see how different disabled people moved. And we also have, you know, an amputee with like a silver shiny prosthetic in the book. We have someone who has a diabetes like thing on their arm. We have a wheelchair user. We wanted to make sure that she wasn't isolated,
Yes.
that she wasn't the only disabled kid. She just happens to be a disabled kid that this terrible thing happens to. She becomes the center of attention and she takes it and makes it her own.
Yes. It's so important for our kids, and I'm even speaking about myself with my kids, to have the representation of different kids with different disabilities in order for the normalization to happen, so there's not this feeling of othering in real life as well as in media and literature. I gave Shiny Misfits to my daughter. She loved it, for the record. She's 9 years old. She's got exquisite and incredible taste, obviously. And she didn't know what cerebral palsy was, right? I mean, so we sat down and she said, hey, I don't understand what Bay-Ann's disability is. And so I said, hey, well, here's a little bit about cerebral palsy, but let's look it up and so you can understand it better. And we use that as an opportunity to educate ourselves together. And then she was able to understand a little bit more of why Bay-Ann is very keen on having the not having it be seen as her falling because of her disability in the book, but falling because she is being swooned in the moment, right?
And see, this is what we want to do. We want to start a conversation that's like, hey, what is the deal with Bay-Ann, Dad? I don't get it.
Yes.
And then you're like, hey, I'm going to learn how to have a conversation about disability with my daughter because she just asked me a question. There's nothing embarrassing about it. Let's talk about it.
Exactly.
It's a good conversation start. Davey Matt doesn't have a dad. He just has a mom. And that's also still, believe it or not, in this day and age, that is still a conversation starter.
Yeah.
When there's a kid who's mixed. So I want to talk about skin tones really quickly. So Shiny Misfits has no borders. And as a Palestinian, this was so important to me, right? Because like this whole idea as an indigenous person who has witnessed so much violence throughout my life, I don't believe like in borders. Sorry, everybody. I don't believe in borders. However, I thought it was so crucial to represent skin tones, right? Because sometimes when we erase borders, we erase difference. I don't want to erase difference. So we had this whole range of skin tones. Now, in order to be completely inclusive, we had to make sure that the audiobook came out on the same exact day as the print book of Shiny Misfits came out. So I executive produced in association with Audible, the audio version of Shiny Misfits so that we could make it accessible to blind kids and kids with intellectual disabilities and people that just like having things read to them in a car. And I don't know why I'm saying we. I had to figure out how am I going to talk about skin tones when I have to let go of my entire vocabulary? Meaning, and what do we say? He's Latino, she's Arab, he's African. He's, South Asian.
Right.
He's a Pacific Islander. That's how we talk about people's skin tones, right? That's really how we do it. So I actually consulted with some First Nations women. And I was like, how do you talk about skin tones? And they said they used elements of nature. So I had the whole range of skin tones from Opal, which is Michelle, who's like white with blonde hair and, you know, blue eyes, to Mahogany, who's Principal Arbus, and everything in between. Bay-Ann is rose gold. Her dad is desert sand. Davey Matt is baked clay. And each one of these people is, you know, representing a skin tone that exists in real life. It's not, I accept people if they're yellow, blue, black, or purple. No, these are actual skin tones represented, but we're taking away all of the politics by taking us back to nature.
I really like the way in which you described the skin tones because it shows the nuance that truly exists in the world. I mean, you listed so many different colors and so many different shades within nature that spans the palette and the spectrum of what exists. And there's not, right, a political connotation to opal, mahogany,
desert sand,
desert
base
sand,
clay.
Base clay. Yeah, exactly. And that gives this visualization of the different skin tones without feeling charged in hearing it, you know?
Yeah. And then again, it's like, what are you? Are you, like I said, are you opal? Are you winter snow? Are you like I literally sat with myself and I was like, okay, am I rose gold or am I more of like, a sandpaper? I don't know. And it was like, it was really fun. And it just shows you that sometimes we feel like the way to equality is erasure. And equality isn't erasing differences, it's embracing differences. And you have to forgive me because the cat in my book rhymes. And in order to write, an entire series that includes a cat that's constantly rhyming, I rhyme all the time. I don't mean to. And it'll like come out of me. And I'm like, Eminem, you must stop. You must stop right now. And then I'm like, no, I'm Maisie. Like, get it? Like, Jay-Z, Maisie. So, but I have to tell you about the cat because, like, I'm not supposed to say this until April Fool's Day, but I don't care. So, the cat is voiced by a very, very, very special person. My favorite person alive. God bless him. Dave Matthews. So Dave Matthews did the voice of the cat on the audiobook.
That's incredible.
And it's so fantastic because Dave Matthews has this incredibly generic name. And so when I say to people, Dave Matthews voiced the cat, they're like, who is that? Did you
What?
like go
Oh
to
my
high
God.
school with, they just think it's like Bob Simmons or like, Karen Fish or whatever. And I'm like, no, like the. And they're like, no. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, no, we don't understand. I'm like, I understand. So I'm gonna do like my big reveal on like my shinymisfits.com website and my website. On April Fool's Day, because I'm a comedian. And I'm like, this is great. People won't know if it's real or not. And then they'll go and they'll find the detox and they'll be like, no, seriously, I think she means that Dave. And yes, I mean that Dave. And that's also, of course, why I named Davy Matt, Davy Matt.
Love it. So instead of any ants marching, he's voicing cats, right? Or should we say he's crashing into the role? He's very, I could just
I
keep
want
going.
all of your analogies to stop. Every single one of them has
Done.
made me mildly uncomfortable, slightly creeped
Done.
out,
We're
and not
absolutely
having
done.
fun.
That is
What
fair.
I'm saying is that cat has a dancing Nancy within its soul.
I love it. And I'm excited to hear it because I know that everyone will be excited as soon as they continue to realize, oh, it's the Dave Matthews. It's not just
Yeah, it's
a
gonna
Dave
be fun.
Matthews.
It's gonna be fun. I have to say, when I was handed the reins of the audiobook, it turned into this moment in time where I have a 20-year career. I'm like a stand-up comic who can't stand up. Real life, like I've done Live Nation tours. I performed at Bridgestone Arena, guys, standing ovation of like 35,000 people. Like I'm the real deal. I pioneered stand-up comedy in the Arabic language, in the Arab world. I was like, sure, I'll do stand-up comedy first. Why not? Like this is who I am. But I've always made like a huge deal of not asking big stars for anything because I happen to be around big stars all the time. Because again, I'm a comedian, so I'm the entertainment. So I'll be at like a women's conference. Serena Williams is next to me. Reese Witherspoon's across from me. George Clooney's walking by. Like that's my world. So when Shiny Misfits, the audiobook came around, I was like, every single favor I never asked for shall be asked for now. And it's like, it's my dream cast, right? So I'm Bayan because I'm really passionate about disabled characters being voiced by disabled people. And there was no one funnier with cerebral palsy than me. So I was like, fine, I'll do it. And then the narrator is a really good friend of mine, an extraordinary woman, Vanessa Marcel. She was Brenda on General Hospital. She was Gina on 90210. She starred on Las Vegas. And her voice is just incredible. Tobias Forrest, who was one of the scripts, is doing all the men's voices. He's a wheelchair user. I always say I have have to live the limp, and it was really important that we had a minimum of 25% disability representation,
Yes.
both you know, on the page and behind the scenes. And then Lemis Isaac is the final voice, and she's Palestinian. And so we have a Palestinian woman next to me. And then Shadia is Palestinian, Lebanese, Colombian. So I have a Latino with me. So, like, we just really piss off everyone who doesn't want inclusion,
Yep.
because we are Willy Wonka's golden ticket of inclusion. You don't get more inclusive than us. I got Latino, I got women, I got gay, I got everything. I got everything you ever want. I got a talking cat that rhymes, voiced by Dave Matthews. So what I'm saying is, get up, get Shiny Misfits, because I have to pay $1,057 a month for health insurance in the United States of America when it honestly should be free.
Yeah.
And I can't afford it. And books don't make a lot of money unless they become like superstar.
Well, there
And
we
so
go.
I need everyone listening to Detox to buy a copy of Shiny Misfits for themselves, and then make their friends feel bad when they're quoting lines of it and their friends don't know what they're referencing. And they're
Yes.
just like, oh, you haven't read Shiny Misfits? I'm a total Davy Matt, but you're much more of a Michelle. And they're like, am I a Michelle? What are you even talking about? I kind of feel like I'm Lucy the cat, and I've never get me the book. We need people to get the book. And I always say, I really hope that a lot of kids see themselves that way and are like, you don't always have to be the main character, right? So, like, I always say, I don't identify with Bayan, the main character. I identify with Gazala, the mean kindergartner. That's who I identify with. And I hope that every single kid picks up this book and is like, that was me. And like, adults pick up that book and go, that was me. And then if you don't see yourself in the book, be like, yes, I'm the ultimate misfit. They never even came close to someone who reminded me of me, you know?
Yeah.
So that's great too. You don't always have to, you know, fit in. You don't.
No. I might as well stand out, right? I love
And
it.
I want to say again, there's no Shiny Misfits without Shadia Amin.
Yes.
This was a group project. And I think quite often when you have a separate illustrator, they don't get the glory that they need to. But like, she took images in my head and put them on paper. She drew things, and then I would send her the picture and be like, dude, look, this is me, and you drew it without even knowing.
That's awesome. Oh my goodness. As we're wrapping
And
up.
we're women,
Yes.
but just to say, we are women in a very male-dominated genre.
That's
Like,
right.
if you go to a comic book convention, it is not easy
Yeah.
to find someone like me or Molly or Shadia. And for us to be two BIPOC women doing this together, it was just, I mean, literally everything about Shiny Misfits is a dream come true, but the ultimate dream come true while we wrap up. And there's just, we're the last of this generation. Being in the Scholastic pamphlet, it's a thing.
Yeah.
And I'm in the Scholastic pamphlet. I grew
Yes.
up looking at those pamphlets. I
Yes.
grew up circling what book I wanted. And now I'm in the Scholastic pamphlet. I'm in the pamphlet that they're handing them. And I know that everything's internet and nobody cares about the pamphlet anymore, but I
Oh,
do.
I
And I
do as well.
love
Yes.
that I'm in the Scholastic pamphlet. It like matters to me.
I love that. And I would say if you're not convinced to buy Shiny Misfits by now, and not just one, but like multiple copies, then I don't know what else to do for you. Well, you can get it at your local independent bookstore, ideally, or really anywhere books are sold. Definitely get your copy of Shiny Misfits. And I would say, Maysoon, if people want to follow you
We
and
have
see,
a
oh, yes.
way to help you
Oh,
find your
perfect.
local indie bookstore. If you don't know how to find your local indie bookstore, you can go to shinymisfits.com, click on indie books, and we're going to help you find the local bookstore that you're going to support. And then also, I always say if what's accessible to you is ordering it online, you can order from any of your favorite distributors, and you can even go straight to the horse's mouth, scholastic.com.
I love that. And I love that feature because it is so hard to find your local store sometimes. So thank you
Can
for doing that.
I plug my other thing that's huge?
Yes, please do.
So my website is maysoon.com. Just like the month of May is coming soon, my name is maysoon.com. My ego was so big as a teenager, I bought my name when no one knew what the internet was. Like literally, I was like Steve Jobs' Arab. That's how I got maysoon.com. So if you go to maysoon.com, there's a ton of really cool stuff. There's all of my clips, everything I've ever done. So if you're just down and feeling blue and you need a chuckle and you feel like going down the Maysoon's giant rabbit hole, it is shiny and it is disco and it is fun. And you should check out my clips. I write a ton. So I have a blog on there. I have a page of pictures of Beyonce. I have a web series called Advice You Don't Want to Hear. I have all of my tour dates. I have a way that people can contact me. And so if you want to just like know all things Maysoon or like just laugh a lot or like follow me on Instagram or TikTok or any of that stuff, it's all on Maysoon.com.
I love that. I was going to ask if what's the if people want to follow you and see what you're up to, what's the best way to do that? And you've just given it to them. So there it is, maysoon.com, and then you can follow Maysoon on all of your social media platforms and watch the clips
And you
and
can visit shinymisfits.com. We have a
yes.
dedicated shinymisfits.com website. It'll tell you where we're doing book events because we're going to be in Atlanta. We're going to be in DC. We're going to be in New York. We're going to be in San Diego. We're going to be in Jordan, as in the country of Jordan, because we're taking Shiny Misfits International because it's a story for the world and it's a
Yes.
story about equality. It's a story about friendship. It's a story about acceptance. But most of all, it's funny. It's
Yes.
really just funny. Everything else is just a mask so that I can get the funny out.
I love it. And I do, you mentioned Jordan, and I'm a huge soccer fan, and I have to say, shout out to the Jordan men's national team who came oh so close to winning the AFC Asian Cup Championship a few weeks ago. I followed that tournament. It was a delight to watch their story. Yes. So I just had to give a shout
I got to perform at FIFA World
out.
Cup in Qatar, and
Oh.
Qatar is, Qatar is my second home. I love Qatar.
I love it. Well, Maysoon, thank you so much for coming on the show. I look forward. I hope you'll come back on again, and I look forward to having another wonderful discussion.
And please thank your daughter so much for taking the time to read Shiny Misfits. Thank you.
Will do. Will do. Well, listeners, you've been detoxing with Detox. Now go and make a more inclusive world. If you know of an interesting person or story that needs to be told, please reach out to me at detoxpodcast@gmail.com. That's DTALKS podcast@gmail.com. You can also reach out via Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at detoxpodcast or visit detoxpodcast.com. Also, be sure to leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes if you like the show. It only takes a few seconds and it really helps us out. Link is in the show notes. Finally, thanks for listening. Please come back next week when we'll have another interesting conversation. And special thanks to my producers, Ben Lawant and Galan Aldaco. Without your help and support, this show wouldn't be possible. Thanks so much, guys.
Detox is a production of Vocal. For more information and more programming, please visit vocalnow.com. That's VOKALnow.com.